There we go. Now I'm recording.
The anticipation. There was so much energy, Power. You got
the anticipation.
Woohoo! It's all gone now, my dude. I'm Brent. What's up, Computer Club?
I appreciate the energy that you're bringing to this intro, Emily. And BB's here too.
Hello.
And the music we're listening to in the background is her video game Cuphead.
She's trying to get us smoke bombs.
You just died.
Wow, seriously, I didn't see it.
You only got halfway through the level.
Go, do it.
Me?
No, do it by yourself.
I won't even, no.
Do it, my dude, do it. Were you the one talking trash? You were the one talking trash. Let Hugh with without sin throw the first stone. Oh, look at that.
I didn't know
you knew how to parry.
He did, we've been playing a lot. By a lot, I mean like one time.
One time, many times, we've played many times. I'm an expert now. What do I do with that thing?
Shoot it.
Kill it?
Can I?
Yes.
Oh. Ah, look.
Wait, if we get in our controller, we can try to get them.
No, I gotta finish the intro. I can't stay here playing video games. I got stuff I'm working on. Well, this recording is for the intro for the San Carlos Computer Club from January 19th, 2021. So, with that in mind...
Buy my bracelets.
Buy Emily's bracelets.
They're 30 pesos. You can talk to Poppy about it. He'll hook you up.
BB, do you have any closing words?
Foxes can make over 40 sounds.
Foxes can make over 40 sounds.
Turns out the fox can say 40 things.
Mm-hmm. Who knew? Well, with that comes the close of this week's introduction to the San Carlos Computer Club from January 19th, 2021. Thank you. I am Scott Stimson, and you... No.
Are watching me rage.
Watching BB rage. I am Scott Stimson, your host.
And I'm Viviana Stimson, his daughter.
And I am Emily Stimson, the best.
And... We want you all to tech on.
Tech on.
Tech on.
Thank you, guys.
Anyway, so it's just a long string, and I just tie it in my hair.
Those are friendship extensions.
That's right. I need hair extensions, and I like the idea of the bookmark.
Yeah, you think the bookmark's a good idea, too?
So, Scott, that little clip that she uses is, in my age, is called a roach clip.
A roach clip.
That's what I was going to say. It should have a roach clip on the end. Yeah. That's only half.
Okay, tell your story, dear.
That's what it was, right? I just came back into the picture, but that's what that was, right?
What?
No, it's a hair clip. But anyways, I was wearing them at a John Fogerty concert, and this guy said, oh, those are appropriate hair things for today's concert, you know, because he was doing his Woodstock set.
It's like dual purpose.
I never thought of them as that way until then. But.
Well, aren't they? They're called alligator clips.
Ah.
Yeah.
Alligator clips.
Not crocodiles? Clips.
Yeah. Those
grandma's called hair clips. Hippies call them roach clips.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. I'm definitely the grandma.
Show yours again there, Cheryl. Look at the
teeth. You know, they used to have, they used to look just like that, too, with little colored strings hanging on them for you.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That isn't an alligator clip. I was thinking that was an alligator clip.
No, the
alligator clip is technology, but it's just a little hair clip, and it kind of looks like the old silver ones that grandma, great-grandma, used to have. They were flatter and more metal. But.
I was about to say, I have one of those, but it's for my Kana tail.
Oh, your Kana tail?
You know, for my cosplay.
For your cosplay.
You clip it on.
Clip it on your butt? Is that what you do?
No, I clip it on the skirt.
On the skirt.
Yeah.
That's right.
Time for Computer Club.
Mine was beaded.
Did you hear the Alexa? Time for Computer Club.
Like I told you last week, I can't get the pew, 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 pew in there.
Right? Wait, Alexa, stop.
I just found what I needed. Alexa, echo.
Bill, did you see that one of our last meetings I dedicated the episode art to your echo?
Yes.
You saw?
I think so.
I made an Imperial March of echoes. I don't know if you
saw that. Oh, no, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that?
I did the jigsaw puzzle the other day. Yeah.
Where have I?
How'd you like that jigsaw puzzle I sent you?
That was great, except I saw it took you 36 minutes. It took me 80 minutes to finish it.
It was 36 minutes it took me?
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
You're a jigsaw fanon. Or savant.
That reminds me, I have a puzzle that I have under my bed that I haven't finished.
Oh, that's right. It's been sitting there. So we've been doing these virtual jigsaw puzzles here.
There was a comedian that said, I'm pretty smart because I did this jigsaw puzzle. It only took me 3 days, and on the box it said 6 to 12 years.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Podcast. Computer Clip Podcast.
Music.
Hey, your sound is going through our recording. Everything this mic will pick up.
Let me just mute my phone real quick.
Okay. All right, here we go. This is the artwork I dedicated to Bill's Alexa. Oh.
Where
Did you
was it?
We're streaming already, Scott?
Well, we're streaming, but I haven't hit the go live button yet. So I've got everything.
Oh, okay.
Everything is rolling, but nothing's happening yet.
Okay.
Why? Is there somebody
Our
waiting?
Grandson in his quarantined. He got released from his room when he came back negative on his COVID test, but he's still isolated at home while everybody else goes to school and stuff for one more week, like till the end of this week. And so we just started sending him bad dad jokes.
Mine
yesterday
was their school was quarantined.
Just his class, just his one class had
class.
To go home. Yeah.
Is that because they're doing such a good job of separating the classes on the, they feel like that's safe to do? And that must
well,
be it, right? They must be like not doing lunches together or something.
Well, the kid that came to school, it was the first day back after 8 weeks at home because of the Christmas break. And they sent home the junior high kids because they couldn't keep them socially distanced. And the elementary kids were still going to school. Anyways, the first day back, there was a young man in his grade 9 class that was awaiting his COVID test results, but his parents sent him to school anyways, and it came back positive an hour and a half after he got to the school.
Oh, no.
So only those people that he, and he'd been in the one classroom, so they figured the close contact for the amount of time that he was in that classroom, that teacher, and those kids got sent home.
You can't take my mouse. I'm directing the show.
not anymore.
Well, just an hour after they got there, and then they had to close down the class?
Yeah.
Jeez.
An hour and a half into the class, he sent his mother a text and said, "Did you get the phone call?" And she thought, "Oh, what have you done at school? You know, you've only been there an hour and a half. What
You're already in trouble."
And he said, "Not me." He said, "You know, so-and-so came to school and he's positive, and we have to go home." So she had to go and pick him up and take him home. And...
Wow. Well, he has had one of these experiences that we're watching on the news. Morning, Jim. So isn't that cool? Bill turned me onto this website. This is Jigsaw Planet. You can get an account for free and you can upload your artwork and create jigsaw puzzles.
Cool.
Out of it. I thought you'd find that fascinating.
What is this?
This is Jigsaw Planet. Hold on a second. I'm tangled in cables because of this... This is me and Bibiana hanging out for the computer club. She has no school today. If you can imagine, they've been doing these random day of the week with no screens. As if you could see our setup, she is now surrounded by 6 screens. and she's holding a phone. So it's not very functional to give them a day off with no screens. I think the no screen day must be for the teachers.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, like a professional development day or something. But our province, we have the Alberta Gaming and Liquor Control. And what they've done, usually they're advertising, you know, liquor sales and out casinos and gambling, all this. But right now they've got a bunch of...
Morning, Chester.
Good morning.
They've got
Good
a bunch
morning,
of
Chester.
Good morning. Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. Right now, what our liquor commission is advertising is dry day. Have one day off of your alcohol consumption.
they're they're trying to do dry here on the week.
Are they?
Yeah, at least in Sonora. I don't know if it's gone as far as Wyma still has fairly low numbers.
My alcohol free is Monday. I don't have drinks on Monday.
I'm sorry, Judy, say that again.
I said I have an AFD, an alcohol free day on Mondays.
But that's Mark Day. I can't watch Mark Mulligan without a drink in my hand.
I don't watch Mark Mulligan, so it doesn't bother me.
That's like
are you shaking your head
during World War II?
Beattie has alcohol free days every day.
Good for Evie. Good for her.
Or I
been
should
sober for 13 years.
13 years sober.
You're supposed to stand up and say hello. Oh my God.
Yeah, stand up and say I'm Bibiana.
Go back down.
By the way, Scott.
Yeah, Bill.
The liquor control board also is the marijuana control board. It's legal here, and they sell it in the stores, so we have some controlling agency in there yet.
I was going to say, I thought you guys were out of control when it came with marijuana now.
No.
It's very well controlled.
There's no mention of a marijuana-free day. I'm not sure what that means.
It means you have another activity when you're not drinking. I'll take that alcohol-free day.
Yeah. And see you two joints.
So you're showing me cartoons? I wanted to show Jim this poster, not poster, but Jigsaw Planet, because Jim was asking about it. Jim, are you still interested in this?
Say again.
So this is a site that Bill turned me on called Jigsaw Planet,
right. And
you can sign up for an account just like that, and it's free, and you can just start uploading your artwork and turning it into jigsaw puzzles.
Huh.
And so I've been doing our episode. I do a piece of episode art for each one of our meetings. This is the one from last week that I stuck on the email message.
Interesting.
And you can. I've got this set to 60 pieces. But great time waster, as Cheryl would put it.
Yes, exactly. You realize that down in the corner there's a little kind of ghost-like figure.
Yes.
You see him down in the. Have you ever used him?
Yeah, to be able to see the. Yeah, I have to admit, I had to use him to solve your puzzle. There's too many hats.
Well, that's why I probably had 30 minutes, because I use it all the time. Okay. But I set my puzzle pieces up to 140, 180, and Cheryl just shudders when I say that.
You see where it says play as at the top there? You can open up play as, and then you can change the number of pieces, but you also can go to custom. You go down to custom. And then you got that rotate. So I set mine to rotate the pieces, set it for about 24. You slide your thing down at about 24 with rotation on. And then I really like the guy at the end with all the little buttons on him, you know, the shape.
Really?
And you load the new game. So then what you have to do is you have to flip them. So you look at your letters and get all the letters going the right way. And
oh, your scroll wheel allows you to rotate it.
Oh, well, I've been doing it on my iPad, and usually there's two arrows on either side of it. Yeah.
You want to try?
Hi, Judy Bauer.
Hello, Judy Allwood.
Hey, Judy, nice of you to join us this morning.
Thank you, I'm glad to. I'm finally back in San Carlos.
Oh, good.
Oh, excellent. No problems, everything's good?
House is, we got all the repair work done, I think, last week.
Well, and we can see you've got internet with no issues.
Oh, internet's good.
I woke up this morning, a number of you know that I've been using two internet connections. I've been using Telmex and Juan with X-Pro. And today, this morning, we are rolling just on Juan's connect because Telmex is just gone. It's just gone.
That's because it rained today.
No, it didn't rain before. It was gone before the rain.
Oh,
it's coming in and out here. Coming in and out.
Well, and what's really unusual is the phone line is crystal clear. There's absolutely no problems with the phone line. And there is no attempt to synchronize with the modem. When you When you look at the modem, I'm pointing over here. I'm going to move my camera over. When you look at the Telmex modem, you can see there's only two lights on it.
And all we can see is the puzzle being worked.
Well, you can't see to the left of that?
Oh, a little tiny sliver of it, yeah.
No!
Yes, yes, give me the mouse. I'm going to hook up another mouse and we'll have mice fight. Mice fight! Mice
what
fight!
What the mouse?
There we go. Okay, you can go back to your puzzle.
Thank you.
So this is a fairly standard Telmex router, and you can see there's only a power light and a LAN light. That's your local area network, and everything else is out. Now, what you should be seeing is you should see the DSL light flashing in a very consistent manner. Like it's flashing every 2 seconds, or it's flashing every 2 seconds, and then every 1 second, then every half second, then a solid light. Or you never get the solid light, and it rotates back to every 2 seconds, every 1 second, as it attempts to create a connection. Well, this morning, nothing's attempting to make a connection. It's like somebody chopped the connection. In the Telmex way of doing things with DSL, there is a box outside the house, and it has a line coming in that's telephone and a line coming in that's internet, and they get connected and they feed out to your home. I know you can't see any of that. So there's an internet line, a Telmex line, and your home line. And this morning, things are behaving as though this internet line is gone. Whereas if it was the home line that was causing the problem, you would expect your voice conversations to have static and garbage coming across it at the same time.
Somebody drove into a telephone pole last night.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And it's just not the one next to my house. It's the one down the block before the box.
I finished it.
She's done the puzzle. Well, now you have to beat BB's score of 4 minutes and 6 seconds with rotating
16 seconds.
16 seconds, okay. All right, fine. Miss Accurate. So, Cheryl.
I had to turn my sound down. My earphones are too sensitive for teenage laughter.
I'll move my mic over here. That'll add a natural buffering. Morning, Jim, Caroline. Hey, you guys are just in time. We're just getting started. Bibiana's decided to join me for club. So if you need a 13 girls point of view on anything technical, she's here.
Go, great. I wish she was on Vancouver Island here.
Yeah?
Yeah. She's treating with all of our mess here, I'm sure.
What's the newest and the best boy band going these days, Jan?
What was that? The best boy
What's
band?
What's the newest and best boy band? Everybody, every era has boy bands.
Do you have a boy band you listen to?
What's a boy band?
Yeah.
You know,
like the Beatles.
Like the, oh!
Yeah.
Or Mark and the Funky Bunch. Hey. Or
how are you doing, Jim?
What else was there?
Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet Boys. That's the famous one. Backstreet Boys.
No, I don't.
You know, what kind of music do you like to listen to?
Okay.
Good question. That will not be answered.
Well, probably what's more interesting is where do you get your music? All your music?
Sometimes TikTok.
You hear that?
TikTok.
TikTok.
By the way,
YouTube. Scott,
I heard a definition of.
I forgot to hit the go live button. Hold on to that thought, Bill, as I introduce us as the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and this is my daughter, Bebe. Say hi, Bebe.
Hi. Hi, Bebe.
That's how you can tell it's my daughter. And you guys are the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and my daughter has got a day off from school today, so she's decided to join us. And in classic fashion, we have no real agenda or organization. We've been talking about puzzles and music. Anything else we need to add to that list? I don't know, but I just hit the live button, so if you want any of that discussion, you'll have to listen to the podcast where the audio starts before the video does. Bill, what was your last thought? Hey, look, it's Mina. Mina's here.
Hi, Mina. Hi, I can't see any of you. Can you see me?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, we can see you.
Yes. Yeah, we can see you.
Sorry. But I can't see you guys. Terry's here too.
Hello, Pop.
Hi there.
Oh, we can hear Tata in the background. Well, we just introduced ourselves, and we are looking for... I've got some topics. We've still got topics shaking out from the insurrection in the United States. And we've also got puzzles that we've been talking about. So in classic computer club fashion, there is no real rhyme or reason to our order. Bill was just had a topic. I hope I didn't... I hope you kept... Did you pin it?
Who's Jerry Garcia's fan? Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead.
Well, I heard the definition of Grateful Dead. It's country and Western music that people on LSD like to listen to.
There you go.
What?
Country and Western music.
Country Western music that people on LSD listen to. Which is very true.
LSD is a hallucinogenic drug, kind of like drinking too much tequila.
Oh, okay, well.
How fortunate for you, Scott. You got to explain that.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. 13. Keep it clean.
Give me a break. 13 is on the internet all the time?
Yeah, she actually knows more than I do.
You think that?
We're hoping so.
Maybe she can tell us what some of the communication abbreviations mean.
Oh, I bet she could. Do you have any in mind? Are you thinking of anything particular?
Well, the best one was it's a commercial, you know, where this guy goes to his neighbor and says, you know about networking and stuff like that. What does IDK mean? And the guy says, I don't know. He says, well, I thought you would know.
Pog.
What is Pog? Do you know?
It's a Twitch streamer thing. It's pretty much just an expression like a happy or excitement or surprise. Just Pog. Wow, that was Pog.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty much how it works.
Hold on, guys. I got to write that down.
Actually, it was during the insurrection. My grandson was watching it with his social studies class because they were on at home learning, and I said to him, we're watching it, and he said POG, and I didn't know what that meant.
Pog.
So is it an abbreviation for a specific thing?
No, it's just some Twitch.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Well, pretty outstanding, pretty awesome, something. I looked it up, but I can't remember now.
Urban Dictionary is where you want to look it up. It's a joke.
Yeah, Urban Dictionary, that's right.
The Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary.
You just have to have, you can't have a delicate palate in the Urban Dictionary.
No.
It stands for play of the game.
Play of the game? Mm. Huh? That reminds
it's in
me
the game,
of goat.
Somebody makes an outstanding move.
You know what? It was during when we were watching Lucy. That's what it was. I was watching Lucy, and I said, that's, you know, strange or something. And he said, I said, interesting. And he said, POG. So play of the game, like it's the best thing that he'd seen or something. I don't know.
That's very cool. Well, yeah, that abbreviation reminds me of GOAT. Have you seen that?
GOAT?
Yeah. Oh. Greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time.
You haven't seen that? That must be like mature internet citizen abbreviations. My daughter's just wrinkling her nose at it. It's like, what are you guys talking about?
But GOAT, didn't that originally apply to that gymnast, whatever her name is, that got all 10s
did
in
it?
The Olympics? I can't think of her name right now.
Simone.
Simone, yeah.
That's her name? Or are you agreeing with it, Judy? Because that's how you agree in Spanish. Simone.
Simone, no, that's her name. Simone Bale, I think it is.
Bale. Yes, exactly.
She's a four foot nothing U.S. gymnast that is just outstanding.
Everywhere. All 10s, pretty much.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very good.
But she's very muscular and very short, so her rotation time or effort is awesome.
Mm-hmm. I've got one for you that shows up in some of my stuff. It's IMHO.
In my humble opinion. In my humble opinion.
Right. It took me a day to figure that one out.
I just Google it. I don't even try to figure it out.
That's said by people without humble opinions.
That's right. Not there. It's said by unhumble people. In my finding,
it's at the start of a Trump tweet. but it's from 2 weeks ago because he's not tweeting anymore. I'm no. sorry. I was That's going right. with the non-humble the theme.
Yeah, the newest thing is since Trump was taken off Twitter, the disinformation on the whole network has dropped by 74%.
By 74%. Is that a real number?
Yeah, like
the accuracy of
it's a real number,
on
yes.
Twitter.
Yeah, they track it. Somebody tracks it. They, you know, like the amount of information that's not true or verifiable has dropped 74%.
Well, that's
and the amount of chatter about the election being stolen has also by 75%.
Well,
yeah.
Well, that's a disinformation.
That's disinformation.
Did you see that from AOC where there are these conservatives complaining that because people are getting thrown off, they've lost 30,000, 50,000 followers. And she tweeted back something like, if throwing Nazis and white supremacists off of your platform results in you losing 30 to 50,000 followers, I wouldn't be bragging about it.
Yeah. Very good. Anyway, Scott, I have a topic when you get around to it.
Certainly. Do we want to do topics or recommendations, or do we want to keep bashing on abbreviations? And I'm sorry, I don't mean to get into the Trump thing. I mean, last week I mentioned it to you. I am a little concerned about the idea of deplatforming and what that results in. Mm-hmm. And I feel I'm fortunate that my politics align with the people making those decisions right now. And I don't know what I'd be feeling if I didn't align with them, because it would feel... I mean, I understand all the arguments. I understand that it's private company, that they can choose to not do business with people. I get that. And at the same time, this is where we've built everything up to. This is the way we communicate with each other.
But you have to realize, too, that something else is going to take its place with that select group of people. So...
Well, you know, it's...
What's the point, really, in shutting it down other than making them go underground to a new platform?
Well, and that alone is a little disconcerting. Like before, we had extremists mixed in with moderates, and now for moderates to carry on those conversations, they have to join the extremists in their underground and secure places to talk. So it almost feels like we're forcing people into being more radical.
I have faith that, FBI is monitoring I have faith that the FBI is monitoring every channel.
Guess I heard somebody from law enforcement on one of the talking head shows in the last week saying before they had one channel and now they have thousands of channels that they have to pay attention to. And I got to say, encryption is good. What we have for encryption right now is solid. And it's only been compromised by the implementation. So the more accurate the implementation becomes, the more private those dialogues are. And when they are purely secure like that, you're done monitoring them. You're absolutely done monitoring them. And so we're kind of pushing them to become more sophisticated than maybe they were planning on being. And that's a little disconcerting as well. I would... almost rather have an open environment where crazy people can shout, you know, until they go blue, just because we know where they are and we know what they're saying and we're able to form opinions against it. And we can't do that when they go underground.
Well, I'm sure that three-fourths of those people that march think that it's a violation of the First Amendment to have them off. Because they don't understand the First Amendment.
Yeah, and Paul, I wish that was the... I wish intelligence is what we were arguing about. I mean, when we have these conversations, I wish it was some supervillain versus some super intelligence, and we're trying to work out the dynamics of our culture. But that doesn't seem to be the case. I mean, like, the first... It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they think their First Amendment rights have been broken, and they aren't because it's a private company. What really matters is that they stormed the Capitol while being dumb, while thinking that was the correct way to be. And taking away their ability to communicate with each other may have short-term may have good short-term benefits. I'm just worried about the long-term benefits of setting precedents like that. And you really are laying those activities in the hands of business instead of, you know, my government can't do anything about it.
I find a lot of people when they start to talk about, they say, oh, I don't mind having, you know, these rules that because I don't do anything wrong. And somehow they think that there's that this what is right and wrong is set by something outside of our society. But once you decide what's right and wrong, then and are in control, then everybody can be on the wrong side of that.
Yeah, just to cut to the chase, Jim. It's like what's right or wrong is dependent on who's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
It's censorship, and you have to. It's not the American way to have censorship, mm-hmm. and. You can also say that Carnegie and the robber barons of the late 1800s were all private companies as well, but they got too big and became major obstacles to freedom and had to be busted up.
Chester, I think I'm in full agreement of everything you just said there, which I find a little odd because we share slightly different politics. but I go back and forth. I think it's if you're a business owner, you have the right not to do business with people, and this is the way the marketplace shows that they're not going to tolerate that kind of stuff. So, like if I own a grocery store and you're out in my parking lot spouting white supremacist garbage, I think I should have the right to kick you off my private property, and I'm not censoring you. Go across the street. Go find some place that you can share these ideas. The flip side of that in my world is we've created this infrastructure used purely for communication. And there are only a few large companies in charge of them, and they are definitely on the other side of these politics. And so they can very quickly make it difficult for people that have alternate opinions lose their ability to share them.
Well, like your example you were using, if the private company owned all of the parking lots throughout the country and you couldn't go to any parking lot and talk, that's censorship. Censorship lies.
No, if it's private property, it is not.
Well, so is Carnegie's refineries were all private property as well as the oil wells, but it was still large enough to be a monopoly. And you have that same issue developing with respect to these sites that are determining what is accurate and what is not accurate, and what is moral and what is immoral. And it all boils down to censorship and taking away your rights.
You know, Chester, I like your analogy of owning all the parking lots, because we really are dealing with that with this internet technology. We're dealing with a very small group of people or group of businesses that own all the parking lots. They own all the streets. And so, yeah, you could dig your own path, but that in itself, the fact that you can't take advantage of all that other infrastructure really shuts you down. I think it's a very complex issue to get in. I agree with anybody that says it's not a First Amendment issue. I don't believe it is a First Amendment issue. Actually, I would think all the way on the other side, we've got issues with monopolistic behavior, which has led to them having this kind of control over what Chester's calling censorship. I'm having trouble using that word when I know it's not the government doing it.
It's also a question of consorting and working together, and this is antitrust, and there could be an antitrust issue here with all of them taking the same action at the same time.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like the right way. I mean, it feels right in my heart. I'm like, shut them down and arrest them. But I really do worry about where that brings us in the future. What kind of precedent that we're setting for the future? Because I completely believe that what is right or wrong is dependent on who's in charge. And there's no reason that if this can lean this way, it can lean the other way.
Mm-hmm. Careful what you build.
Well, and the fact that we're going they're literally going underground. I think there's reasonable people that are going underground as well, because the big companies have made it clear that they can't hold any opinions. They go against their own opinions without the fear of getting shut down for those opinions. Even though I completely agree, it's not a First Amendment issue. These are private businesses. They can use the marketplace. I mean, this is true capitalism at its finest. You've got some brokerages out there that don't want to do business with you because of your politics, and they don't have to because it's private business. But maybe the way we're running these businesses is the question. Maybe what we're allowing to happen in that marketplace is the real question.
So this baker in, I think it was in Denver, refused to bake a wedding cake for these two guys. I think they were guys that were getting married. And that went all the way to, I believe, the Supreme Court. And it was his right to refuse that they could go elsewhere.
Judy, did you see that meme went around the internet when people were complaining about being deplatformed? And they're like, you have gay bakers to thank for that.
Yeah.
Because the Supreme Court made it clear private business can choose who they do business with.
Exactly. So, you know, there's two sides to all of this. But when the speech is inciting a riot and an insurrection and leads to sedition, that needs to be shut down.
Yeah.
I think
in Canada, they call hate speech in there, and they're for two decades, we've had these laws on our books that you can't incite crimes against someone.
They're
federal crimes.
What type of felony is? This can get very, 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 very dangerous in a hurry.
We don't use that word felony or felony crimes. They're just federal crimes. So do you know anything about this, Cheryl? How our laws, our hate speech laws work?
I think that the word felony to me says that then you are jailed. Is that correct?
More than a year.
No, felony is more than a year in the United States?
Felony is a serious crime, and a misdemeanor is a non-serious crime.
Okay, so I think the hate crimes that there are, I think you have a record. I don't know that you are incarcerated. I'm not sure what the penalty.
My questions relate to who provides the definition, and who polices, and all of this is a slippery slope that can get you and your country in trouble. And you have to approach it very cautiously.
Yeah, there's only been one case that I can remember that a fellow has actually been charged and convicted of this hate speech. Remember the Holocaust denier, Zindel, I think was his name. You remember that, Bill?
Kingster, but that's...
Well, that's another, well, there maybe there's...
That's a different one. No, the name's familiar, but I don't remember exactly what it was. Yeah.
Anyway, it's not done very often, but it is there for
us. I have difficulty considering a denial of the Holocaust as a hate speech. Just one side of the issue. And why I'm trying to point out that this stuff is very, very dangerous to deal with. And most, the United States is probably the freest in the world in terms of free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to see us become a country where the government controls what you can say and where you can say it.
I understand that that's the way it is. One time I was in Hawaii, and I was at Diamond Head, and I came down to the bottom of the hill, and there was a fellow selling T-shirts there, and he told me they were, it was a fundraiser for the park, and that I would give him the money because I liked the T-shirt. I wanted to buy the one. He said, I can't have this one. These are my samples. I've walked them all up here. We'll deliver them to your hotel room. And so give me your hotel room and stuff like this. And I thought, this is too much. Somebody giving some guy in the national park your hotel room, he dials up his friend and guess where they are in a minute. So I backed out of it, and I went and I talked to that. I said, the guy up there who's selling that doesn't sound like a pretty good idea. And he said, oh, she said, he has nothing to do with us. We really wish he wouldn't be there. And I said, well, then he's telling lies. He's telling people that he's doing this on your behalf. And they said, oh, we have free speech. You can tell lies if you want here. And I was awestruck by it because it wasn't extortion, but it was some kind of fraud. It was fraud, you know.
And we're going to allow politicians in Washington define what is lying and what is hate speech. And
well, he was lying that he wasn't giving any money to the park.
You can go on the House floor and say anything in the world that is hate, that is lying, and no repercussions whatsoever.
Yeah, I know. Well, hold on.
Let's not go too far off the technology path that we're supposed to be on for Computer Club. And let's bring it back to these platforms and being deplatformed, the term deplatformed now in everybody's lexicon. And I just think about how would you feel, and I haven't mulled this completely over, but instead of being kicked off Twitter, what if you were kicked off the internet? What if AT&T just severs Trump's internet connection? And put yourself in that position. Like that's not government. That's private business. They decide they don't want to have anything to do with this customer. So now he's got to go compete. He's going to go to the competition to try and get internet. But because of the way we regulate internet, there's only one other place to go, and they share the same politics, and they're not going to give him an account. So now you can't get internet from your cable provider or your DSL provider. What do you have left? You have Skylink that hasn't been, I mean, that's satellite, that's Elon Musk. He's probably a safe bet. He'd probably give a connection to the ex-president. I think when you say he's been kicked off Twitter and he can go find somewhere else to say his things, well, that's easy to say. But if you apply the same logic to kicking you off of, like, who's to say you haven't upset Cox Cable? And they're just not going to do business with you anymore. Well, because of the way we regulate the internet infrastructure, who else do you go to for internet if Cox has decided you don't get an internet connection with them? And do they have the right to do that? If they're the only internet provider in your area, do they have the right to just decide they don't want to do business with you?
Slippery slope.
It just makes my skin crawl a little bit. I'm very happy to see them deplatform. I don't like the word forever. I mean, I think that after this all went down, it made lots of sense, kind of like putting the barriers around the Capitol to shut down communication online. To everybody take a deep breath and step back and try and figure out what just happened. But this, I mean, just platform after platform after platform, thousands, tens of thousands of people losing accounts. That's a bit dystopian.
It wasn't just Trump that lost the platform.
No
platform.
No. Another good example is the young representative that led the issue in the House to block the voting. And he is writing a book, and his publisher has now denied him the right to publish his book.
Chester.
Unfortunately, there is another publisher that he could go to and accomplish what he wanted to do. And the big publisher that denied him access to their services, what he did was totally within the law. He did not break the law. He was no, they didn't like the way he thought. They didn't like his politics, so they blocked him.
And Chester, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
They're a private company. Holly got another publisher to publish his book, or he could have self-published. Either way, he has avenues to get it out there.
Okay.
It's just that that particular publisher decided they didn't want to do business with him.
Jim, I'm happy you made that point. I was going to make that point, but I wanted to follow it with this. There's a movement right now on the internet to make an ad hoc agreement amongst publishers to not publish a Trump manuscript. I don't know if you've seen that, but they are asking publishers to join in an agreement not to entertain a book about Trump for his benefit. Did I say that right? I mean, I think it's for our benefit, but it's so that he doesn't profit off of selling his story.
That would be antitrust.
Yeah. And he can still self-publish.
Exactly. It's like the PGA pulling the golf match from a Trump property. I don't see anything wrong with that. That's their option.
Agreed.
It's no different for somebody saying, okay, we don't want to publish your book. It's the same thing.
It's because it's private companies. Exactly. And they get to decide who they're going to do. But I'm sorry, Chester, go ahead.
If they all get together and decide they're not, none of them are going to take a certain action, then that's antitrust and that's not good.
That's right.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there.
Yeah.
It's, see, this is my dilemma.
It is.
Any of those things have to go through an editor, and that's what an editor does, is edit, removes parts.
You know, we started this club. Some of you were already with us. BB and I were joking because I was showing her my YouTube status, and I have a Bing against me because Jim and I did the Apple Watch party together. And I had been broadcasting it on my YouTube channel, and within seconds they flagged it as copyright infringement. And of course, I think we could get into that, but they denied my appeal, so I can't get into it. And then their terms of service say that if I do it again, I could lose my channel for 6 months.
Wow.
I'm not dangerous, and I'm not trying to take advantage of people. I'm not trying to spin somebody else's IP off as though it's mine, or try and profit off of it as though it's somebody. I mean, maybe there's a little bit of an argument. I steal pictures off the internet to make my album art for our podcast. I don't...
you went against the terms of your agreement with them.
That's right, I did, but I didn't understand that until the first hit. I didn't even recognize that rebroadcasting the keynote, that's what it's called, the Apple keynote, rebroadcasting it in a window next to Jim and I talking about it would count as copyright violation, because they're broadcasting it on the internet. Everybody can see it. But they decided, and I'm sure it's an algorithm on both parts, both when they took it down and when they read my appeal, I'm sure it's an algorithm that said, nope, that doesn't qualify as a good reason to do it. And if you do it again, you could lose your channel for 6 months.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
1984.
I mean, I don't want to listen to him any more than anybody else, but I do want to be very careful that I have the freedom to listen to anybody I want to listen to. And that,
or not listen to it.
Or not listen to it. That's right.
Yeah, we have the ability to block people, to turn off the TV, to not go on Twitter so that we don't see things that upset us. So... on the other side of it, there are consequences for what you do. You broke your terms of your agreement with YouTube, and you have to face the consequence. Even though you did not know you were doing it,
right?
You have to face the consequence, do it again, and you know what the consequence is.
Well, I would agree with Scott, though. I'd argue that he did not break the terms. It would have been a useless argument, I understand, but still, legitimately, he was not consciously breaking the terms of his service when that's showing in the background and he and I are having conversations.
But aren't there broadcast rules and everything? Like, didn't somebody have to pay to put that keynote speaker somewhere? Like,
well, it was all being broadcast on YouTube from Apple.
On every available channel.
And mm-hmm. As you could probably imagine, if it was me that somebody was copying the computer club and talking on top of it, I would bet I couldn't get it shut down. But I can bet Apple can. Apple can get it shut down. They could have, right before they're doing the presentation, they can have a mandate out at YouTube going, there is not supposed to be any rebroadcasting of our stream.
Well, and it's copyright laws. You know, I mentioned Mark Mulligan. He cannot do cover songs. He has to do his own music. At Christmas time, he was able to, on his show, do Christmas songs, you know, to have his family sing those kind of songs. But I've made videos where Facebook has told me, we've muted your sound because you do not have the rights to that music.
Yep.
You know, so...
ASCAP, or I think it's ASCAP, that used to go into all the bars.
Say it right, Judy. It's ASCAP. ASCAP. It is. Like an ass for your head. It's ASCAP.
What am I listening to?
I just want to get the pronunciation
right.
Not even
repeat that word. I don't want to know what it means.
It's like an anal sombrero. That's what you need to think of.
Well, we can all be thankful. Let's all be thankful that Happy Birthday to You is not copywritten anymore, and we can sing that.
That's right.
That's why in restaurants they didn't sing it. They made up their own Happy Birthday songs.
I'm sorry, Judy. I didn't mean to shut you down. Did you want to finish?
That's when I worked as a bartender. That was the thing. They would come, the representatives would come in, and if you hadn't paid, you couldn't have that music.
Yeah. Yeah, we have the same thing in Canada. There's copyright laws, and whenever we brought a performer in, if he was going to be singing somebody else's songs, not only did we have to pay the performer, we also had to pay this government agency that paid all of the musicians. According to my friends that are musicians, they get like cents on the dollar that was being collected. But there is a way to make sure that the people that created the content get paid for it. Maybe that's what happened with Scott, that it wasn't so much that you were broadcasting it, it was that you didn't own it.
Well, Cheryl, I think it's definitely because I didn't own it, but I think it was enforced because it was Apple.
Ah, there you go. That's true.
I
think that ASCAP is a union, and therefore you have to, if you have a restaurant and you're playing, like you have a restaurant and you're playing FM music, you have to pay the union to do that, and that's ASCAP. Yeah. That's not a government agency, it's a union.
Right. I don't think anybody was calling it a government agency, but that's the way they keep track of it. That's how they know who to fine and who to collect money from. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to fill up our whole hour with this kind of discussion unless you guys want to keep going with it. I'm happy to take topics or recommendations. Did anybody show up with any recommendations for book, movie, podcast? Let me get through the intro. Podcast, website, application, anything goes. What would you recommend? Cheryl has her hand up.
And then I think Judy was after me, but we were about the same time. Anyways, okay. I watched News of the World. And at the same time that I was watching News of the World, my friend is reading the book. And I'm not sure if she's going to like the movie, but I quite enjoyed it. Civil War, Tom Hanks, is that what it is?
Yes.
News of the World, is that what you said?
News of the World. He goes around and reads the news. He's in Texas and in the Western Territory, and it's just
post Civil War.
Yeah.
Wow. Is this a new film? I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, in the theaters.
Oh,
where did you find that on
Stremio?
Where did you find it?
We did it on Stremio.
On Stremio? News of the World. I'm just looking it up right now.
But the name of it doesn't jibe with the commercials. Show him traveling with a little girl to bring back to her aunt and uncle.
Ah, okay.
After her family has been brutally killed by the natives, and she's been raised by the natives.
Ah, this is the reason you had to watch it on Stremio. It's on Apple TV. In the United States, it's on Apple TV for purchase. You can rent it from Apple. Let me just say it like that. You can rent it from Apple TV, Amazon, Google Play, YouTube, Fandango. I keep forgetting they actually have a service. Vudu, Microsoft, Redbox, and DirecTV. That's in the U.S. There's no listing here for Mexico, so you'd have to use Stremio. And it's almost the same cast of characters in Canada. It says Apple TV, Google Play, Microsoft Store, YouTube. Some service I've never seen before. Illico?
Cineplex?
And Cineplex.
Yeah, Cineplex.
Are you familiar with Illico? That's a service I've never heard of.
No.
Illico. It should be.
Never heard of them.
Illico. Yeah, I've got a feeling you'd find yourself on Stremio watching it. IllicoWebVideotron.com. Does any of that sound familiar to the Canadians?
No.
I've never heard of it. Might be worth checking that service out.
Anyway,
well, News of the
Cheryl
World.
Liked...
Oh, go ahead, Bill.
Cheryl liked the movie. I didn't. I watched it. I thought it was okay. I thought the some of their episodes in the middle were pretty contrived, and the ending was contrived. I would not give it a great recommendation. It's not bad, but it's not a great recommendation for me.
One of the things that drove Bill crazy was they had a horse that had a saddle on it, and the horse was never ridden, but he had the saddle on for the whole duration of the show.
Yeah, they had a saddle horse that they were leading with a wagon, with the buggy, and supposedly he led this damn horse all the way across Texas with the saddle on it. You know, instead of the saddle in the wagon.
I just didn't make a lot of sense. But I know that's wrong. Why would you suffer your horse like I played Red Dead Redemption. Why would you suffer your horse like that?
Well, he would have beds or sores like you wouldn't believe. It'd be awesome. The other thing I didn't think was great was he had a shootout part way through with three guys and killed all three of them, but never collected their guns or their bullets or anything from them. He just walked away and took off on his journey again with his old 16-gauge shotgun that was good for nothing.
He didn't pilfer them for resources. Right. Well, that's what you do in the video game. You just grab all the resources off of the guys you just shot. Keep moving.
Exactly. Well, in real life, that's what you do. You don't leave stuff like that laying behind.
Especially their boots.
Yeah, their boots too.
One serious reason for watching with those has Tom Hanks.
He has this.
I agree with Chester. No matter the complaint, it's got to be pretty good if it's got Tom Hanks in it.
Right, I have never. Yeah.
And I thought Chester would like it, but I also thought that Sandy and Terry would like it too. So I see Sandy came back on.
I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, it's an okay one. From my point of view, I thought there were some pretty silly things in it. But
I watched it as entertainment, not a real story. So.
It's a movie, Bill.
Yeah, movies.
Here's the problem. You know, whenever I see stuff like that, it kicks me out of the movie into the real world. I say, "Oh shit, you wouldn't do that," and then you kind of go back into the movie again. You know, it definitely kicks me out of the sense.
I share like your the same sentiment. When I was watching the Fantastic Four and they made Jessica Alba a blonde Latina that's supposed to be a white girl, that really bothered me. I got over it really quick because it was Jessica Alba. But
what gets me is commercials where they're using somebody that's fishing and the guy's got the fishing reel upside down, the spinning reel upside down. And I know that there's 10 people involved in shooting that commercial, and nobody knows how to use a spinning reel.
Nobody knows how to fish. Can we get at least one person on this commercial that knows how to fish?
Yeah, having worked in 1858 in the National Historic Site, when I see people portraying themselves in 1858, I do get a kick out of the way some of them behave and how clean they are, how pressed their shirts are, things like that, you know.
And there's a commercial on TV where these guys are crab fishing, and it says, you know, if we catch fish, if we catch crabs in Maryland and Virginia, do we have to pay taxes to both states? Well, not with those crabs. They're Dungeness crabs.
That's funny. They weren't Maryland blue crabs?
No, they were Dungeness. In a pot.
In the 1920s, they'll have all of these wonderful cars running around, and every single one of them are clean.
You're just part of a museum.
Yeah.
That's how it is in Cuba. They're all clean.
They're all clean. Do we have... Is there anybody else that wants to bring up a recommendation? I did bring one that I meant to recommend 2 weeks ago. Judy, go ahead, Judy.
So Good Morning America had recommended these movies, and one of them is Outside the Wire. That's on Netflix, and it's like a futuristic cyborg kind of a movie.
I'm in.
And it was a...
You had me at cyborg.
Kind of. I mean, it's interesting. And then another one that they recommended was Wanda Vision, like WANDA Vision, and that's on Disney Plus.
Oh, I recommend that as well. If you haven't seen that, that is so much fun.
Say it again.
Wanda Vision. Like a fish called Wanda, but Wanda Vision.
It's kind of a play on television, and it's a play on the names of the characters because she's Wanda and he's Vision. And these are characters from the MCU and the Marvel Cinematic Universe They are members of the Avengers. But that is not the reason you watch this show. This show is so incredibly creative, and it's taking its tune from old 1950s sitcoms like I Love Lucy and who else am I thinking of? Was that you?
No,
that's
Jackie Gleason.
Jackie Gleason,
and that's on Disney Plus. And then the other one was One Night in Miami.
One Night in Miami.
One Night in Miami, and that's on Amazon Prime, and that's on down here. And it's about when these four, like Martin Luther King, Muhammad Ali, and I can't remember who the other two were, meet in Miami. So
is it a documentary?
No.
Oh, yes. No, right. It's true. True story.
But it's not a documentary.
It's a dramatization of a true story.
Hey, Judy, the first one you mentioned outside the, what's the last word?
Wire.
Outside. Wire. Wire.
I found that one on Netflix, and it's in the Mexico catalog. So.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. These are all great suggestions. I know what I'm going to do this week.
And, of course, I'm still watching Designated Survivor. I finally made it into season two.
Okay, we're going to check back with you and see if you make it to season three.
I know. It's kind of slow going right now.
I'm watching The Flight Attendant.
Oh, we really enjoyed that. What do you think, Paul?
I think it's really good. It's hard to follow because it's supernatural, some of it, you know, flashbacks and things like that that go by pretty quickly. But Kelly Cuoco is really good in it, and she's the executive producer of it.
What are you watching it on, Paul?
Netflix, The Flight Attendant.
What is it? Flight Attendants?
The Flight Attendant.
It is. It's funny because she's the hot blonde from The Big Bang Theory, the love interest. And she didn't have a lot of depth as that character, so you didn't really get to see what her skills could be, but she was insanely funny in it. And this is the only other project I can think of, really, that she's gone on to do, and she just does an excellent job. And it's so much more sophisticated while still playing kind of the same kind of person.
Yeah, that's right. She's not prepared to face real life.
Yeah, I mean, she's a drinker. She's immature. Like Paul said, she's not ready to face real life. But it's such a much more sophisticated character than the one she played in that sitcom. Yeah. And it's definitely, this isn't a sitcom. It's funny, but it's like dark humor. It's it's unintentionally funny.
And I have a low tech topic for just a second. It won't take long. Do you see this? This is my.
Is that your friendship band?
My Swiss Army knife that I use for trimming my fingernails and opening Amazon packages.
Oh, all right.
And there's a wire tie on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I learned this from Juan, the Wi-Fi guy.
Okay.
Because I watched him install my antenna, and he had a adjustable wrench in his pocket with a wire tie on it, and all he had to do is find that wire tie and pull the wrench out. And that's what I do in it. So it makes it easy to find in my pocket. But also, if it falls out in the car or in my easy chair, it doesn't get lost. That wire tie stays visible.
Nice.
Well, that's a good tip.
My hack for the day.
All right. Well, this is great. I would recommend The Flight Attendant. I would recommend WandaVision. Going back to WandaVision, again, don't think superheroes. This is a mystery comedy that's going on, and it's definitely worth looking at. My Bibiana wasn't even interested in watching it. We kind of forced her to stick around as we turned it on, and then you couldn't leave, could you?
It was funny.
So exciting. But in black and white, I suspect they're going to switch to color in the next episode. They've been playing with color in it. In the first two episodes have been released, and we're waiting for more episodes. So WandaVision, I'd like to recommend that as well. And there's another one that I've been watching for the last couple of weeks, and I keep forgetting to mention it, and it's another one that's a book. It's a Stephen King, The Stand. And I don't know if you guys, I mean, most people are familiar with the movies. Maybe you've read the book. I'm one of those Stephen King fans that never reads the book because I don't want it to ruin the movie.
Sounds like a cop-out.
Come on, you're guaranteed any book he writes is going to be a movie, so why read it? I'd rather see a really good
that's
movie.
True.
And so this is a remake of The Stand.
So is this the old movie?
No, this is a brand new 2020, and it's really well done. It's episodic. We're waiting episode by episode each week. There's another episode coming out. And I would have mentioned it earlier, but I wasn't, because it was kind of straightforward, The Stand. But I find myself waiting diligently for the next episode to come out, and I can't get myself to wait until they're all out and just binge it all at once. I've got to see the next episode. And to me, that's the sign of something that needs to be recommended to other people. So the Stand is on my list for today.
Where do you watch that?
I've been using Kodi to watch it. But let's see if I can find it on Just Watch. I also wanted to tell you guys about an experience I've been having recently that you might find interesting. I'm going to find out. It's on one of the services that I subscribe to. I'm just using Just Watch to see where it might be available. Oh, CBS All Access in the United States. So that's another one of those programs they've put out trying to sell their streaming service to people. And because it's on CBS All Access, it has not been released in Mexico or Canada. In the past, their products have been available on Netflix in Mexico. I don't know about in Canada, but they don't even show it as being available on Just Watch outside of the United States. Maybe it's too new from their point of view. Well, I wanted to share with you another experience that I'm having as far as recommendations go. I watched a movie. I can't remember at the moment. I can't remember why I watched it. But Sid told me it was a Howard Hawks film. And Sid is big into old movies. He's like, you should check out His Girl Friday, which is another Howard Hawks. Maybe some of you folks know His Girl Friday. It's a famous movie. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. And so I went out on the internet and I got a list of Howard Hawks movies that I could run through to see if I knew the movies. And even if I did, it turned out I had seen His Girl Friday before, but I sure didn't remember it. I remember when things popped up, I'm sure you guys have done this before, as things came up in the story, I'd be like, oh yeah, of course, yeah, I know this story, I've seen this story. But I thoroughly enjoyed watching this old time movie, and so I brought up this list of like some of the 16 quintessential movies that you should watch from Howard Hawks, and I've been going down that list trying to find where to watch these old movies, and that in itself is a real challenge. It's a real internet sleuthing game to pick out a movie you've decided you want to see that's so far out of circulation that it hasn't been really well covered on the internet. So you can't find it at Netflix or Amazon Prime or one of these services. And so you're trying to track down what service you could watch that movie from, or if it's available through Streamio or Kodi or one of. I've installed new plugins in my Kodi just so that I can look at older movies. Sometimes you find these movies on YouTube because their IP rights have run out and they're in the public domain now. So I offer that up as an entertaining activity you guys might find yourself on. Find a director or an actor. I'm sure you've done stuff like that before. But the more obscure, the more interesting it is. I've now got a collection of black and white movies under my belt. I've found that I find it very interesting that I can put one of these movies in the background and work beside it and follow the plot and enjoy it. It's not as intensely visual as so many movies that we get now. And it doesn't draw my attention any more than dialogue, and I'm able to do other work on my computer right beside it. Of that, I recommend His Girl Friday. It was a great movie. What else did I watch? I should have wrote it down. I don't have it in front of me. There was a couple of... Oh, I watched the original Scarface. 1932 Scarface.
Scott?
Yes, sir.
His Girl Friday is Cary Grant, Rosalind Russell, is it?
I think so, yeah. I'm trying to bring up this list I've been going off of.
Yeah, it's on Streamio. It shows up.
On Streamio.
Yeah, and I just searched Howard Hawk, and I got gentlemen prefer blondes. His girl Friday, the thing, supernatural or natural.
That's what got me.
There's all kinds of them.
Is my friend Justin recommended? He the or thing? Actually, he we were in a conversation about movies, and Justin says, "Hey, what's the original version of The Thing, the John Carpenter?" We were talking about John Carpenter films, and if you haven't seen,
yep.
The John Carpenter Thing, it's an awesome movie to watch. It's really well done. In a classic John Carpenter fashion, it's a low budget and beautiful pulpy sci-fi kind of stuff. But Justin's like, what was the original? And we found it was The Thing from Another Planet from Howard Hawks. And Sid was telling me that that's an unusual movie for him because he normally does romantic comedies. And so I brought it. Another one that I saw recently was I was a war bride. I think that's what it was called. Does that sound right?
There's one, John Wayne, Rio Bravo.
Yeah, he did some John Wayne movies. In fact, it was funny because Sid's a real big John Wayne fan. So I suspect that's the reason he's so aware of Howard Hawks. And I suspect that's also the reason he didn't mention any of the John Wayne movies to me, or I wouldn't have done this. Because I'm just not a cowboy fan, and he knows that. And so he mentions these other obscure movies to me.
Scott.
I was a male war bride.
Yeah, I was a male Scott? War bride, if I remember right. I was.
Yep, that's it. All of these are on Stremio.
Well, what you'll find, Scott? Bill, Mom, just say, what you'll find, though, is maybe they're not. Stremio will pull up resources, but the resources are so lack that you may not be able to watch it on Stremio.
It might not play.
It might not play because there's only one copy of out there on a obscure server that at the moment you may not be able to get to. Mom, you had a question?
Yes, I'm wanting to know, you say Hawks is the last name of the director?
Howard Hawks.
Is he any relation to Ethan Hawks?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay. And the movie The Thing, I remember seeing that in Tillamook in a little old cold theater there. Being scared to death.
I really enjoyed The Thing that John Carpenter... I like John Carpenter films. He's got some really bad ones, too. But you can always tell when you're in a John Carpenter film. The music, the framing. It's very much a stylistic choice with him. He does his own music. That's the reason you can recognize it from the music. He's a composer as well. Which, when you're talking about B-horror movies... doesn't really register on anybody's charts, but he's done most of the music for all his movies. We're mixing up John Carpenter and Howard Hawks right now. But I offer it up as an activity for you guys sequestered in your house under quarantine looking for activities. Find some obscure, or well-regarded writer, author, an author or director or actor, and pursue their bibliography or their discography or whatever it might be, their filmography.
Scott, I've got another movie that's kind of interesting, totally different from what you're talking about. It's called Three Identical Strangers. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's a story on nature versus nurture. Very compelling.
Nature.
It's a documentary.
It's a documentary?
It is.
Just on the surface, it sounds like they took triplets and screwed with them.
Well, not just triplets, because the study goes on. It's beyond that. But it's called Three Identical Strangers.
Three Identical Strangers. Nature.
It's locked. The rest of the study is locked in a vault at Yale until 1966. But someone working in the organization was able to reveal enough. Actually, it was a journalist and was able to reveal enough, put enough newspaper articles together that were very, very compelling and made a documentary out of it. It was pretty interesting. Not sci-fi, though, for you all.
So did you say that they've been doing research since 1966 or their research is sequestered?
It's 2066. The research is locked in a vault.
Okay.
At Harvard until 2066, but one of the people in the office was able to meet with a investigative reporter and grabbed enough information to reveal this study that has been done, that was done. And then they found that the triplets were not the only ones, and there are more out there that have yet to be figured out. And until that vault is opened in 2066, we may not know the rest of the story.
I'm guessing I won't know the rest of the story then.
Yeah, what about me, these neither. People that don't have that kind of time?
Yeah, no, me neither.
Write that down, Vivienne.
Yeah, oh, we lost Vivienne.
I was lost way long ago.
Viviana, you're going to have to be in charge of finding the rest of the story in 2066.
What story? There's a story? I was telling my friends about touching clear. Grass.
She's doing her chat thing right now, wasn't paying any attention to us.
Okay, Scott, I got a little technology report.
Okay.
Okay, we bit the bullet and bought the Deco M5.
Oh, yes, I saw your Facebook
dutifully delivered by Amazon, and I'm not sure... I had a little bit of difficulty getting it set up. I was having trouble getting it to actually talk amongst the three. I could be that I was answering some of the setup questions wrong. I'm not sure. Anyway, yesterday we lost our internet everywhere. We lost the old router and the new ones. I finally reset everything. And today our internet is blind, not the internet so much, Steve, but the Facebook or the pages loading on the internet are blindingly fast.
Well, that's
I don't know what we did, but all of a sudden we're getting real speed on loading pages.
So the way you described that, Bill, it sounds like you ran your old router in parallel with your new system off of your cable provider. Is that right?
Well, the old router is this combined with the modem. So we can't just disconnect it. What I did is I told all of our devices to forget the other router. Don't log on to it.
I got you. But then you had an experience the other night where everything was off. Maybe they were upgrading your systems.
I don't know what they were doing. The Decos I upgraded when I started them up. It said upgrades available, so I ran them.
Well, I was referring to as Shaw Cable or Gremlins on the other end of your cable.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, we're still having that problem. Our internet wicks in and out about every, once in a while for about a second, and then comes back and I get a report. I got it sitting here monitoring it and I get a report on it, but I have not ever been able to figure out. I think it's beyond our house. I think it's something that Shaw.
I definitely agree with you. If after replacing this mesh network, actually, it's being fed by the Shaw modem router, isn't it?
Right.
So. And that's a new piece of equipment. Didn't they bring that out to you new recently?
Well, we did upgrade to it. That was another story altogether. We decided, we talked to the provider and they said, okay, well, and they did the standard stuff. They don't come out anymore and check things because of COVID.
Sure.
They just do everything online, and they tighten the cables, change the splitter, that whole thing, and it still didn't help. So he said, well, maybe if we try this new and improved router / modem, that'll help. So they sent it out. We hooked it up. It was $10 a month more.
To rent and, it? You're renting
it. We rent it. And it didn't improve it. So after a period of time, we said, well, that's nonsense. We sent it back. Only our old rate on the old router was grandfathered. And they said, oh, no, you've lost the grandfather clause now. Now you have to pay the going rate. And it was $4 more anyway. So but it still hasn't improved any. And now I've hooked the Deco up to it.
Bill, you almost sound like you've been economically deplatformed.
pretty much. So I have been running one computer
You're having this conversation with them going, well, screw you, I'm going to the competition. And you're looking around going, does anybody want to sell me internet?
Well, they still got the best deal as far as we can tell. That's the problem. Anyway, I got one computer running on the Ethernet on Cat5, direct out of the modem. I've got two machines running off of the wireless, and they're now running off the Deco wireless. And we're still having some interruptions. I haven't checked this one. But so I think it's coming from beyond the house connection.
Yeah, I agree with you. It sure sounds that way to me. They won't
send out servicemen in the COVID times, so we're stuck with it. They won't let us. They won't send somebody out to do the testing and say, yeah, right, you're right, there is a problem. It's just people on the phone saying, well, try this, try that. It's a standard. They got the playbook. They just flip a page. And I've gone through those pages about four times now, and it's still made any difference.
Sure, sure.
I still get interruptions.
Unfortunately, that is the way internet's rolling through our countries. If you had more competition, they'd probably hear you.
Well, we have some other competition, but the other thing that happened was, okay, I have my iPhone, and my iPhone has been really, like, I have the data plan. But I turn on the Wi-Fi when I'm in the house, paid for it, may as well use it. But it does not like the new Dell Deco. So I keep going back to the other one. And somehow yesterday, when we were switching between the Shaw Wi-Fi and the new, the other
Deco,
one.
The Deco M5.
The Deco M5, my phone, like we shut it down and opened it up again, and I tried to get it going. All of a sudden, when I turned it on again, it wants to install an upgrade, and I have been told it not to do that. And then I had to set up my phone again. I had to go back to set up your iPhone. It was ridiculous. It was around and around and around. And it looks like they did not upgrade to the 14. I still have the old 13.51, whatever. But it was crazy yesterday with trying to get it to just hook up to the internet and it telling me that it needed to go back and do all kinds of things. It was a strange experience.
Well, I'm not certain what's going on in your experience, Cheryl, but what you're describing sounds more like an iPhone issue than anything else.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that the iPhone does have some issues. And then, of course, the other thing I use is my iPad, which we all know the iOS is 12 point something, and I can't do things on it. Right now, I would like to use it for a Google Meet, and I used to be able to go into the Google on the browser. But now it wants me to download the app. Well, listen, Apple, you already told me you can't download this app because I have the right iOS system. You already told me that I can't get the new upgraded iOS system on this machine. So it's, back to what we've said about these old iPads. I'm going to have to find another use for it besides paperweight.
Yeah, the... I posted those links in our previous meeting about how to use an iPad, and maybe it is now the smartest picture frame you own.
Well, it's too bad because, I bought it for FaceTime. When I bought it, that was the thing. The kids had iPhones and we didn't. And, I'm using it for different stuff now, but it's the most convenient because you pick it up and you go.
Sure.
And I can't even screen mirror and send it up to the TV because it's only will do that to Apple TV. And yeah,
that's right. Unfortunate. Now the other side of all that is their latest iPad is such an easy purchase. If you're an iPad person, if you're a tablet person, that price and that computer, it's stronger than any computer that I can touch right now. That A12 chip that they have in that base model, that $329 model, it supports 32 gigs, you can get 128 gigs for $100 more. And that's what I would buy if I needed a tablet. I would buy the 429 version of the iPad because it just works.
So what is it? It's the iPad what?
It's just the iPad. It's they've narrowed their line down to the iPad and the iPad Pro. I don't think there's an iPad Air anymore. I think it's iPad and iPad Pro. And the iPad is distinguished between storage space. So they have one for $329 that has 32 gigabytes of space. And then they have another one for $100 more that has 128 gigabytes of space. Now, there's actually two other iPads in that line. And those have cell modem. So if you feel like you want always connected with a cell network contract, then you can pay $50 more in either of those. Is it 50? No, it's $70 more. It's $399 versus $329. Or $499 versus $429 to have.
So I have a question before you pass off the cell modem part.
Okay, go ahead.
What does that do?
Well, it allows you the opportunity to purchase a monthly plan from your cell provider to give internet to that device. So anywhere you could use a cell phone, you could use that device on the internet. I don't recommend it. I think that $70 is better spent in your pocket on something else. I do, however, recommend the $100 upgrade in the storage space. I think the 32 gigabyte model is there so that there's something to upgrade from. It's to have a low end price point that you can compare against. But because you can't upgrade the storage in these devices, it's kind of a no-brainer to pay the extra $100 and have the 128 gigs for that tablet.
And what's the difference between just the iPad and the iPad Pro?
Well, there's a lot of differences. I can't go into it. I'd have to get a chart out. But it includes a more up-to-date processor. Like I said, this one has the A12 in it, but I think we're up to the A14 now, which offers quite a bit more flexibility. It is the faster graphics, faster processor, more RAM. I think you can get up to 512. I think you might be able to get a terabyte now. I'd have to look at it. But the Pro is a very beefy tablet that competes against computers, just desktop computers. The iPad doesn't quite go that far, but if you've got a like my computer's 3 years old, that iPad is comparable in processing power to my 3 or 4 year old laptop in a tablet.
The iPad
form.
Pro is?
The iPad, the base model iPad. What I'm saying is that it's got a lot of power for that price. And it has the features now that you can use an Apple Pencil with it. Whereas the iPad, you never used to be able to use the Pencil. You had to get the Pro if you wanted to do sketching and draw things like that with the touch screen, but now that's available on the base unit.
Scott, couldn't we solve the internet connectivity with the base model iPad simply by tethering to your phone?
Well, you could if that's what you wanted to do. And that's actually my point, is that we live in a world where Wi-Fi is everywhere. And so whether you brought the Wi-Fi with your cell phone or you're just sitting in a restaurant with Wi-Fi, it is so abundant everywhere you go that there's no reason to spend that extra $70 on a cell modem. That, keep in mind, the cell modem is going to fall out of date at some point as well. You're buying the option to buy more in my mind. When you pay that extra money to have the cell phone option, there's a better chance you're not going to use it, so it's just worthless hardware. But to use it, you're going to incur a monthly fee anyway. I don't have a lot of incentive. I don't recommend it. It would be a use case. It would really be your, I don't know, maybe you do some kind of work that requires you to be out in a truck somewhere and you just want to always pick it up and have, but like you said, Jim, you could do that with your cell phone. Anywhere you have your cell phone, you could have internet for this other device and you don't have the extra bill.
Explain to me tethering from your phone.
Well, you can set up your cell phone to provide you with a hotspot. You've probably done this before, Cheryl.
Oh, no. Okay. So we don't have the plan with AT&T where we can make it a hotspot.
Oh, my gosh. They're charging you extra for that?
No,
they're not. It's not an extra charge. It's a feature on your phone, Cheryl.
Well, they used to charge for it, and the feature wouldn't appear unless you were contracted for it. In the past, it used to be a feature that you would pay an extra like $10 a month for in the United States.
And I think that's what happened when we first bought the iPhone in the U.S. We could have this with it capable of doing a hotspot, or the other one where it's not. And I'm pretty sure we chose the not.
I think this stuff will make more sense. Like I might want to pay $70 more for my tablet if my cell provider is providing me with a comprehensive plan that covers all my devices. Same phone number, same
contract.
Well, that's
what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was thinking, couldn't you use your like we already have AT&T, couldn't I add a device?
Yeah. And whatever that cost would be for adding a device, you'd incur monthly.
Or so, could it replace the telephone?
Like a family plan. Yeah, it could replace the telephone. You're subject to all those things if that's the way you decide to go. I tend to feel like Jim's saying, I think there's just internet everywhere. And so it's not to me that the storage space is a bigger deal than the cell modem. I may be wrong. Yeah. You guys are bringing up good points. I think I'll have a different opinion when Telcel goes, hey, for 500 pesos a month, you can use this plan on any of your devices at a moment's notice. So I get like a SIM card for my tablet, a SIM card for my phone, a SIM card for my smartwatch, and they just all flow on the same plan. I think I might be more interested in that $70 bump.
So that's the difference then, because if you don't buy an iPad with cell phone capability, you don't have any place to put the SIM card.
That's right. You have no place to put the SIM card. But at the same time, they haven't done it yet with the iPads. But what they've done with the iPhones is they've made them dual SIM. And they made them dual SIM by making one of them what's called an eSIM. And so you can put your main service on the eSIM, and then you have a SIM tray for a secondary service. And I suspect the eSIM is going to come to these products as well. At some point, you'll get the eSIM in an iPad. And then it's just a matter of whether you have that hardware there or not. You wouldn't even need to go out and get a SIM card at that point. You would just contact a wireless provider, like a Mint Mobile or AT&T, and they would just turn on your device. I love where we are right now with tablets, because anytime somebody asks me to recommend a tablet, I can just recommend the iPad base unit, because it is so much more tablet than all this other junk that's out there. But it is more expensive than the junk, too. There's a lot of junk out there. I'm working on some junk right now. Here's an interesting story for Computer Club. This right here, this is a Irulu tablet. Irulu. If you come across one of these, don't buy them. mostly because the company doesn't exist anymore. So if you're coming across it, somebody's getting rid of it, you're the sucker buying it. I don't know if you can make out what's on the screen, but this is after flashing the firmware, flashing it to reset, setting up as a new device, and it says connect to the internet, and you connect to the internet your Wi-Fi, and then it says couldn't connect to internet. And because I can't connect to the internet, I can't complete the interview process. Because I can't complete the interview process, the device cannot be used. It can be chucked in the trash. Now, this problem exists because this is a knockoff piece of garbage from China that phones home. It one of the first things it does is it tries to contact the mothership and say, hey, I'm in the hands of somebody. And we've become very aware of this behavior, and that site has been taken offline. So it's got nothing to phone home to. And consequently, this manufacturer's gone completely out of business. So this is just a dead piece of electronic e-garbage right now. I've been trying to hack my way around it. I've learned some very interesting things you might find interesting. One of the hacks, this is Android. It's either 5 or 6, but this works up till 6. I can pick a random Wi-Fi network, and approach it as though I'm going to go into it by putting in a password. I can say show password. I can copy it. And you'll see this list of options come up. One of them is to share. I can get at the share option, even though the tablet's not set up. It brings up a menu of things that I can share with. I don't care about sharing, but I kind of want to get into the setup. So I'll choose email, but instead of going into email, I'll hold email, which tells Android I want the settings of email. All of a sudden, I find myself in the email setting. It's a great demonstration of how hackers work. I just compromised the setup interview and got into the settings for the email application. From here, I know I'm whizzing through this. This took me hours to figure out, and instructions online. So if you're impressed, be impressed with my research. None of this existed in my brain until a week ago. I can go into notification settings, and I can go into app settings, and I can come up here to the more menu, and I can choose manage accounts. Give it a second.
Loading, loading.
Oh, wait. No, somehow I ended up in help. Hold on a second. While my daughter plays the Wii
I'm going to start playing the Kahoot theme song as there we wait.
Here we go.
Oh,
okay.
Dang it.
Go into manage accounts. It says you're about to go to the settings app where you can add and remove account. Continue. Now I'm in Android settings. So I've got full control over the settings. I still can't get this thing to work, but I am able to do some stuff. I am online. What's the next thing I could do with this? Oh, I can go into, while I've been chatting with you folks, I don't know if you saw me do a little dance earlier, but my smartwatch has told me twice to stand up and do some movements. BB was laughing at me, so
go do some movements. Do the conga dance for us.
I'm making my watch happy.
Your happy dance.
My happy dance. So in settings, I can go into the Google settings and I can choose search now. This is for setting up the search now stuff, but that's not what I'm using it for. I'm using it to compromise the device. And I can go into now cards, which we don't care about, and I can turn it on. And at that point, it wants me to set up Google and I'll say no thanks. And it's left me with the Google Assistant. Now I'm in the Google Assistant. I can do searches if I'm still connected. Oh, you know what? I might not be. Oh, I am connected to the internet. All without being set up, simply because I was able to get in that first little security breach at the setup interview, follow it to the other security breach in the email settings, follow that security breach into the setup, and then follow that security breach into the Google settings that lead me to this by accident, which Google never intended for anybody to be able to do. Now I learned—
very clever.
I learned all that because I was trying to install an app that would allow me to remove the setup interview. And so mucking around for 2 days, finally achieve all that success, and the app won't do what it's supposed to do. So I'm back at square one again. I mean, I've definitely, yeah. Oh, here's another thing that I learned. This particular model has a file manager installed in it, a third-party file manager installed in it called ES File Manager. And I can't start applications on this tablet. That's why it took me so long to get into the Google Assistant. But because ES File Explorer is installed on it, and the Google Assistant searches its local list of apps, then I can get it to show up and be available, and I can start the file manager. And so now I can see all the information that's on the device. So this is Scott's demonstration of hacking a knockoff Chinese tablet. None of this has helped me, though. The thing still isn't ready to be handed to a consumer to use. But it's a pretty clear demonstration of using security compromises that can be used and the kind of security problems that these developers are dealing with. I don't know. Anyway, piece of garbage. Don't buy them. It will not work. The other thing that I learned how to do recently is if you have any interest, Bill, maybe you're interested in this. I learned how to very quickly build a DNS server for myself There is a very complex open source software called Bind that I have had to install and use at different points in my life, which is not intuitive. I would never recommend it to a novice to get into it. Every time I've had to use it, I've had to relearn it. Days of research. Do not like Bind. It's very cryptic, but it's free, and that's what draws you to it, is that you don't have to buy it. You could buy Microsoft DNS server, and it's all bells and whistles and some really easy to set up. But I found another one. I think I've even got it sitting over here on this computer still. And I want to say the name, but I don't think I can say the name without looking at it. It is Technetium. Technetium. T-E-C-H-N-I-T-E-U-M. And this is a DNS server that you can install in a Windows machine or a Linux machine or a Macintosh. It's got a graphic front end to it. And right now, I don't have... Let me see if I can get some of the results. Yeah, there's some results. This is the client that I was just showing you guys. This is the tablet I was working on. That's its IP address. And this down here is a list of every site that it's trying to look up while it's telling me it's not connected to the internet. So it successfully went out and touched all these, except for this one. That's the Chinese site that was taken down for hacking, which is embedded in this tablet, which is another reason you would never buy this tablet. Look at this, a whole list of things this tablet is trying to do without you touching anything in it. So a DNS server you can set up for yourself. You could watch where your web pages go. It might be a fascinating project for somebody that's, you know, quarantined in their house looking for activities. You can set it up on a computer. You can point your computer to it as your DNS. Or you could point your router to your computer as your DNS, and everything that goes through your router would go to that DNS to look up your addresses. Anyway, I learned how to do that because I wanted to see where the tablet was trying to phone home to and try and spoof that, which I did all that successfully, but it still didn't fix the tablet. So, in a nutshell, cheap Chinese tablets, nobody should buy them.
Cheap Chinese tablet.
That's right.
Where did you actually get it?
Well, it belongs to a customer.
Oh.
Yeah, and I got it from Nina Sony because she needed some help trying to sort out what was going on. And it's become very clear what's going on. There is a whole slew of these kinds of devices out there in the marketplace that phone home, and their home has been shut off. And so these tablets can't set themselves up again. This has all become entertainment for myself. I told her I would do it because I want to do it. I want to see. I find it fascinating. But there's no way I could charge anybody for it. I've already got like $1,000 of labor invested in this project. And the tablet only costs like $80 if you were to buy it. you know, I'm awash in my own research and knowledge that I've gained from it. That's what I got out of it.
Yummy. And I'm like, wait, not the birds.
Not the birds. Not the,
not the birds.
The yummy was the ice cream she sang.
Yeah, not the birds.
Well, do we have any other topics that we should bring up? Oh, Bill, I just want to make sure you still recommend the M5. You and Cheryl are happy with that?
So far, we've only had it for about 5 days. But yeah, I think so. It didn't solve the problem I'm trying to solve, where the internet, but it gave me more information. And we have really fast internet, it seems, across the house at the moment.
That's nice.
For example, Scott, usually the internet service is such that I can't have all of us his video.
Remember that.
Well, right now I can see everybody's, there's only 8 of us on, but I can see all 8 of us, the video's running on everybody, where usually during these meetings I've got icons on half of them.
Oh, well, that's so great. That sounds like it did solve a congestion problem on your local wireless network.
Yeah, and this is only day 3 because it was delivered on Saturday and today's Tuesday. So, yeah, it feels like we've had it for 5 days, but Bill spent all day, you know, hooking it up the one day, and then we've had one day of experience with it, basically.
Well,
yesterday I had a fight with it in the afternoon. So, yeah, it's still a learning experience, but so far it seems to be working well.
How far from your house does it, like, can you use it outside, or it's not the right time of the year to be doing that, Bill? But
we haven't been outside for 3 weeks. What are you talking about?
Well, I think probably the best way to think about it is that each one of those units is an AC 1300, if I remember right. An AC 1300.
Yes.
So that's a standard that covers, I'm not remembering it all of a sudden. Is it 1500 feet? Does that sound right?
I don't remember. I don't know.
It seems like in total they were saying like a radius of 5,500 feet for all three units in play together.
I do know, like, we have one in the living room, the master, and then there's one in, like, our house has goes back a long ways in the bedroom. I do know that the Wi-Fi used to get pretty wonky back there if I was trying to run the iPhone. That's the only thing that goes back there is the iPhone. And I would have to just go on to the data, the AT&T data, in order to look at anything on the internet there. But now it's solid. It's completely solid now.
Yeah, we'll take something down into the basement in the back in the corner behind the
wine. Well, it should be fine because in the basement back in the corner is right underneath one of the decos. Is it deco or deco? What is it called?
It depends if you're Spanish.
Deco is how you'd pronounce it in Spanish. I've heard a lot of English
speakers. I know how to pronounce it, but what's it really called?
I've heard a lot of English speakers call it deco in English.
Deco,
I've heard a lot call it the TP-Link deco.
It doesn't help me. A meme in Spanish is meme.
Right. I guess that's my creative way of saying I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced. But you're running the same network that Paul's running, and the same network that Jim's running, and my friend Gustavo is running, and I'm very interested in it myself. I've been playing with an AC 1300 router just recently here, and one router is not covering all the space, though it goes quite a bit farther. In fact, Paul had mentioned, I think last week, he was thinking about maybe bringing one of those units to be his main unit in San Carlos. And that theoretically should work, but you would expect the range of an AC 1300 router. So I would suspect that if you're replacing AC 1300, you're not going to get any difference of performance.
Why wouldn't you bring two of them down and then make a mesh out of them back in one side of the house?
Yeah, I think Paul was thinking that his router in Mexico was a shorter range than these new routers were.
Yeah.
And he didn't need the third node where he is. Paul, chime in whenever. You're on mute right now. You're muted. You have angry face.
There you go.
I'm only two of them now. And if I run a test in the living room where the source is, I get 530 and we pay for 500.
You pay for 500 megabits a second?
Yeah, well, we do because the old system was so weak.
Well, you could probably dial that down by like 4/5. You'd probably still be happy.
Well, down here in the basement, I've got one, the second node, and it's about 10 feet from me, and I get 30 up and 10 down. I mean, 30 down and 10 up.
Oh, okay. Those are more reasonable numbers. Do you feel like you get better performance, or did you try hooking the third one up to see if you get better performance?
I haven't yet, no.
Again, I think because of what I understand about mesh technologies, before you make the decision to bring it to Mexico and commit it to Mexico, I'd hook it up just to see if it's not like adding another lane to your highway.
I will. Who knows how long I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
And when I'll get to Mexico again.
Well, and that decision to bring it down to Mexico, like I was saying, I don't think you would get any better range from that device than you would any AC 1300 modem. We have AC.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, go ahead.
In my house, I have the modem that Juan supplied.
Yeah, and so if that is an AC 1300, there wouldn't be a difference between the two.
Okay.
If it was AC 1300.
I've got good strength in Mexico.
We have AC 1300, AC 1750, and AC 1900. Oh, wow. And as I'm trying to bring this up, there's an AC 2200 now. And what these numbers, the bigger these numbers represent, how far a range you can have fast connect. So in a nutshell, the bigger the number, the longer distance at faster rates. The smaller the number, the distance at which you can go fast diminishes quicker.
So I do have a question, though, because I'm sitting here with my laptop and I have my phone. If I do a speed test on the laptop, it's different than what I get on the phone. Why is that? Is that because of the device?
Yeah, it would have to do with just your network Wi-Fi congestion in your area and how your devices deal with that. Both your devices have a wireless at a specific generation, and then it has its own performance numbers within that generation. And so you've got, there's a couple of layers that are affecting you, but each, I always think of devices as having their own personalities.
Well, I was wondering if it was a difference in antennas.
Yeah, exactly. It could be a difference in antenna, a difference in the generation of Wi-Fi processor that's being used. And then each device has its own performance within that. Like, it may have the same style antenna and the same style generation chip, but then you've got a Motorola and you've got a Dell, and they just behave differently within that generation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They're both adequate, so it doesn't really matter.
But that would explain the difference in, and what I was trying to describe is, if you thought of the performance of Wi-Fi, the speed of Wi-Fi, as a graph, and you're watching that graph, where's my camera? You're watching that line go down, that going down, I mean, what I'm thinking of is, as you go through distance, as you expand out distance, you see your speed go down this line graph. The bigger that AC number is, the slower that line goes down. Your speed goes down as you go farther away, as you increase the distance.
And what is a good ping?
A good ping would be 19. Anything under 19 is a great ping.
Well, I'm not a gamer, so it doesn't really matter that much.
19 would be bare minimum if you're a gamer. That's what you're hoping for. Well, that's cool, and you're very happy with yours still, Paul. I'm going to have to buy this thing.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
What should we end with? Does anybody have anything? Hey, I've got one last one for
you. Can I just ask a non-computer?
Oh, what a song from BBN.
Actually, Kathleen, I wanted to talk to you very quickly about your name. You said something in an email about how it says Kate Munson.
Yeah.
And I think that's your Google account. Is that not true?
I think that is true.
Yeah, I think if you go into your Google account settings, you'll be able to change your name, and it'll appear in the Meet as Kathleen or whatever you want it to appear as.
Yeah, Kathleen is my name. Just a quick non-computer question. I have my vaccine coming up this next week and looking for flights down to Guaymas. Are there no planes from Phoenix to Guaymas?
No.
Oh.
No, there hasn't been for a while now. Hermosillo you can get a plane to, but Guaymas you can't.
Yeah.
Difference
Okay, that's what I'm finding.
And me being a technical person, there is planes to Guaymas, just not from the United States. So if you wanted to spend three times the amount, you could take a plane down to Mexico City and then take a plane back to Guaymas. The last time I checked.
Wow.
Yeah, you could do something crazy like that. But Hermosillo is really where people end up coming in from the States.
There's also flights from Guaymas over to the Baja, Guaymas to La Paz.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I also looked at... The why I found that one was because we can fly from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, direct to La Paz, like twice a week during a certain season, and or maybe once a week, I guess it is, every Saturday. And then the flights from Guaymas over to La Paz were, Sayulito. I'm saying the wrong place. It was, how do you say that one?
Sayulito.
Yeah, that's where it is. And so what happens is you fly over on a Thursday and you spend Thursday and Friday night on the Baja. You fly out on Saturday morning.
Cheryl,
back on Saturday, you fly on Tuesday.
It's Loreto.
Loreto.
That's the one. Loreto.
Wi-Fi.
I just found the Wi-Fi specifications we were talking about. I'm going to put a link to this on today's meeting if you guys have any interest in this. But it's going into detail about the difference between the AC 1200, 1300, 1750, 1900. I guess we're expecting an AC 3000 specification that I was unaware of until I just looked at this.
And that's Telmex?
No, well, this is our Wi-Fi standards. And so when you're looking at buying routers, one of the reasons this Deco, I'm going to continue to say Deco because I like how it sounds, Deco M5 is one of the reasons that it's such a reasonable price is that it is at the beginning end of this spectrum of range. It's at AC 1300, and there are products out there that you'll see AC 1900, and apparently 2200 and AC 3000 are on the horizon. I see them in the spec document. I haven't seen them in products you could purchase. But I think the Deco M9 versus the M5, one of the big differences is that it supports AC 1900. And what that's saying to us, it's also one of the big differences is it's $100 more. And what it's also saying to us is that it has a longer range for speed. When you've got those high speeds through Wi-Fi, it can go farther in your house with the AC 1900. So when you're buying these products, you can make those decisions. I'm very happy to hear Bill's getting good range, Paul's getting good range. I've been up at Jim's house. He's getting great range using three nodes. And this device is at that beginning of the, like you could just buy products that would give you more range. The question is, do you need the more range? And that's why hearing your stories being successful are so encouraging. For $149, I mean, that's $100 cheaper than the next product, but it's half the price of the euro. I guess Linda was telling us that the euro, I didn't look into that. She was telling us a new price for the euro. But if you can compromise range, then this is an amazing price. And if the range compromise is like Jim's house, well, that's plenty of range. I mean, if that's really the range we're talking about, is it goes through Jim's house, but it doesn't go out next door, well, then that's plenty of range for $149. So that's what's got us talking about this particular model for the last few weeks. And I will provide a link to this document if you guys are interested in getting in the weeds about that stuff as well. Well, we are coming to the end of an over meeting. We're almost an hour over. I'm always surprised that we find ourselves that fascinating. I blame COVID.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing what we find is interesting, Scott, because we find the Amazon driver extremely interesting, even though he just comes and throws things on the front porch.
Oh, thank you.
And by the way, we had really interesting. We had water delivered today, so woohoo! It's a big day.
Water. Oh, you'll be able to have a bath.
Yeah. Sometime.
Well, probably most of this will stay till next week. There
is the well frozen, Bill? Is the well frozen or what's the...
Oh, no, the well water here isn't very good. Everybody runs off cisterns in this area, so you buy your water.
So you're getting a tank filled with water for the house?
Yeah, there's a cistern, about 800-gallon or 1,000-gallon cistern. And
okay.
About once every 3 weeks, the water truck shows up, and he just dumps her in there. We got a full cistern today.
Do you have a well as a backup, just out of curiosity?
Well, there's a well drilled here, but... it's never been hooked up that I know of. Like, we bought the place. There's a well there, but it's as far as I can tell, it's never been hooked up.
Irrigation.
Well, guys, I feel like we've reached the end. I mean, you're welcome to stay and chat amongst yourselves, but I can't do it anymore. I have got to go on to my projects.
Yeah, well, we've seen what you do with your projects, watching movies and fooling around with old Chinese laptops.
That's right. Just contact me if you need more of that quality information. Sorry, Jim, what was that?
So did Bibiana enjoy the meeting?
It was interesting.
Well, I was very happy to have her here with us.
I find it interesting and a mixture of boring.
It's like spicy when people start boredom. Talking
about apple product.
Well, do we have any last things we should include in this meeting before we call it adjourned?
One more day.
Oh, okay. I have a quick question.
Yes, Jim.
Do we dare go ahead and upgrade the phones to the 14.3?
Ooh. What are you on already?
Whatever the predecessor was.
You're on 13?
13.5.
No, I think I'm 14.1. Let me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then you should upgrade.
All right.
But the best of my knowledge is if you're already in 14, you should be all the way up to the latest version. One of the things you might want to do is just verify that you've got an iCloud backup of your phone before you do it.
Will do.
If you go into settings under iCloud, it should show you if you've got a current backup there.
I should, but I'll double check.
Hopefully you do. That's the way I recommend you guys set up your stuff, is to be doing iCloud backups so that if something goes wrong, like Cheryl was talking about her phone, I would think you, Cheryl, you probably want to make sure you have an iCloud backup and then just factory reset the phone and then restore from the backup.
Well, I just looked at it, and iOS 14.3 was installed yesterday, and I don't know why it decided to do that.
Well, Jim, oh, no. You might hold off another week, actually, if it was just installed yesterday and Cheryl's telling us these stories that her phone's acted weird. You might wait another week to hear other people's experiences with 14.3.
I made the mistake. Sorry. Actually, under my general about, the software version I'm on is 13.5.1, and it didn't change. The one that's available is 14.3.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm not going to take it just by what Judy was saying.
Yeah. So that's the way I've been taking the advice as well, Jim, is that if you're not on 14, you're in no hurry to move to 14 because they've had problems with it. But if you're already on 14, then you want to be in the latest 14 because the latest is them fixing those problems.
Okay, I will double check.
Last thing I just wanted to mention, I'm building my photo book. We always do a photo book of our winter and then another one of our family time and our summertime. And I'm working on Carolyn and James's birthday party that they held last January at Hair of the Dog right now. So as I switch back and forth from the different screens, which is working very well on the computer, and I'm looking at ourselves dancing and enjoying San Carlos, and I can't wait to do that again next year. But for this year, I probably should be taking some pictures of our computer club meet, because past books have had pictures from tequilas, so I should have one of these.
There you
go. I should grab a screenshot.
go to the YouTube channel and just start going through it, and you can snap screenshots from it.
Yeah,
you've probably got more pictures than you can handle.
I'm gonna do one right now, so everybody smile.
Oh, I don't want to copy. I don't want to cover BB.
My printer doesn't seem to be working.
Oh well.
Did it work?
No, it's my print screen didn't work. But I have another solution. Just a minute. Okay, everybody.
Oh God.
Oh, that's old tech. There we go.
I was gonna say that's old tech.
Old tech.
that's like the video recording of a photocopy of a photocopy.
Yeah. Anyways, a little musical interlude before we leave. Tomorrow. Sorry.
I posted the lyrics to Annie's Tomorrow on my Facebook and immediately got Trump hate from people.
I was reading it this morning, Scott. Oh, I don't know how you can stand it. I don't know why you have not blocked GB.
I have found the ability to post the most innocent of topics and have the most Trump hate you can imagine.
I can't believe the things that he says about Biden, and But there's somebody else that I believe that is posting on your sites, which I have blocked on Facebook, so I don't see her posts anymore.
Well, I've always had an attitude where it's like information wants to be free, And these people out themselves every time they say something, every time they open their mouth. And who wants to lose track of them? I mean, what a... right?
Like, Better the devil you know.
Yeah, but Scott, once they get their vaccination, they're going to have microchips anyway. We'll be okay.
I love that post, too. Well, you guys have an awesome day, and I can't wait to speak to you next week. And we'll call this a closed meeting. We're done. Everybody tech on.
All right.
Stay safe.
Bye, everybody.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
Paul.
Bye, guys.
Paul, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What place are you resting in right now? What's
San Pedro, California, part of Los Angeles.
All right. So you could go to San Carlos if you wanted to.
I don't mean to interrupt you guys. Mom, I'm going to send you a link, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So get on Facebook.
So it's a two-day trip. We usually stay in...
Let me hang up here. See, guys. Oh, and let me stop. This is Scott and BB saying goodbye for the Computer Club. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
I'll be here next week, and BB will be in school. Adios, people. Forgot we're totally still streaming.